Come on, kids, and join me up here. All right. I'm looking around. There's a couple of children we're missing. I'm looking. Wait, here comes some more. But there's still a couple we're missing. Where's, come on, Samuel. Oh, I see them back there. Little Joshy and little Lukey. Y'all come on up here. Come on. There we go. They were being so entertained by the story last week as they were sitting out there. Come on, little Joshy. Right here with me, son. Right by Uncle Dusty. There we go. Lukey, you want to come sit on the other side of me here? Come on up here. I might need y'all's help. Here we go. Right here. Special place for you. All right. Well, today we're going to light our third candle. Okay? All right. Hand me that lighter there. Lukey. There we go. All right. Let Brother Dusty get through here just a second. Did y'all hear what Daniel said? He said, Dusty, you're getting too old. Okay, what was our first candle, first week of Advent? First of all, what does Advent mean? Coming, that's right. And we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, that's right. And so our first candle lit 2 weeks ago was what? The prophets. And the prophets foretold His coming many, many times. 425 different times. The prophet spoke specifically about Jesus coming. All right, our candle last week was what candle? The angel candle. And what did we say angels were? They were the messengers. That's right, messengers of God. And we saw six different instances. We named five of them last week where the angels spoke, but there's one we left out. Do you remember? I said that was going to be a test today. Anybody know? It was the first one. You probably have a relative named by this name. What, Will? No, what? It was Zechariah when the angel came there in the temple with Zechariah and spoke to him. So today, you see, Brother Dusty wore this celebration shirt here. This is a celebration day. That's why that candle is that pinkish color. It's a celebration candle because today we are celebrating who came first to see Jesus there in the manger. Who were the first people to arrive? The shepherds, that's right. And we're going to read their story today. Let me sit back down here. Let me get right through here. Okay. I didn't mash you too bad, did I? Okay. All right. Here's a story today. All right. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around about them. Is it bright? How bright do you think that the angels were?
Too bright enough to see my eyes.
Oh man, they were very bright. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Would you have been scared? I think I would have. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Ooh. Did that sound like an angel? Well, I believe there's an angel perched up in the bear cave back there today. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude. How many is a multitude? A bunch. More than you can count. Of the heavenly host who were praising God and saying, now everybody's going to have to help us with this. Okay? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace among men with whom He is pleased. And when the angels had gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the Christ, about Jesus. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The shepherds were the first ones to get there and to see the baby Jesus. Outside of Mary and Joseph. And they were giving praise to God. Isn't it neat that probably the most humble people in that whole area were the first ones there? Kind of lets us know that Jesus wanted everybody to know about Him. The least, the last, the lost, even the poorest of people to know about Him. That's why we celebrate with them today the first coming of Jesus. He came to this earth so that He could do what for us? What did He do on the cross for us? He died for our sins on the cross. And 3 days later, He arose from the dead. As we celebrate His first coming, we know what's He going to do real soon. He's coming back. And we celebrate that too. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for these children. Lord, I pray that this will be more than a story, but You'll take it to our hearts, all of these children. The younger ones here and the older ones that are sitting in their places. Ask You, God, speak Your message of salvation to us. We love You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before you go, I want to remind you about next week. Now, next week, remember, you're supposed to wear red something. And we're going to tell about the fourth candle next week. And if you haven't written something for me about what the real meaning of Christmas is, or drawn a picture for me, make sure you do that. You can give it to me or Mr. John or Mr. Dane or Mr. Rick today. Okay. Well, good. Okay. Y'all can go to Kids Zone. Except for Joshy and Lukey. Thank you, boys. By the way, I'm very thankful for the angelic, very bright light that that Jay Paskowskis shared with me as a gift. I think it's a tactical model of angel shining bright. All right, if you have your Bible, if you'll turn with me to that second chapter of Luke. Today, and I want to talk about those shepherds just a little bit today. Now, When you think about this story, and when the birth of Jesus actually occurred, no, it wasn't December 25th. In fact, they were out in the fields at that time, which it had to be substantially warmer. They would not have been at that place in late December. We're probably looking at late September, early October, the time of year when they're out there. And think of what these guys, what they look like. They spent all their time with sheep. So what did they smell like? They smelled like the sheep. In fact, you could probably know they were coming to see you before they got to you. They would carry a bag that was usually made of one of the skins that from one of the sheep. And in that bag, they would keep all of their stuff because they had to be mobile, very mobile. They would carry a sling with them, a sling as a device of protection. We see that that's exactly what a shepherd boy in the Old Testament killed a giant with. Remember? David, Goliath. And very accurate with that sling. And we're not talking about a slingshot like this. We're talking about two strips of leather with a pouch of leather at the end. You put a rock in it and you sling it and you let go of one side of that and you launch that that rock. It would have a cloak. They would wear this this outer garment. In the daytime, it would protect them from the sun and the wind. In the night, it would be warmth. They would have a stick that would have a blunt end to it. This they would use as a weapon. And they would also have, we always know, the staff. And with the shepherd's staff, that's how they would direct their herds. At that time, it could be used as a weapon. It could be used as many things. You see all the examples in Scripture and then extra Scripture, outside of Scripture, where we see today. In fact, in the land of Israel today, there are some areas where there are guys that are still living that same way, that same life. You can look them up on the internet and see that. Now, here's my question to you today. One question. Why would the first people invited? They're invited, right? The first people invited to see Yeshua, to see the Messiah. Why would it be shepherds? You ever thought about that? Why shepherds? Here are a few things for you to think about. Maybe it was to shame the religious leaders of that day who didn't even bother to come. They knew where to look, remember? We find out that later when the Magi come because of the star. Remember that? I'm going to talk about that next week. But because of the star, they knew where to look. They knew the town to go to. They knew the place. They'd been observing these signs and knew about this star. But yet none of them came. Shepherds got a special invitation. So maybe it was to shame them. God does often use the simplest of people, the simplest of things, to bring His truth, doesn't He? How many times has one of these children and something they said to you bring truth to you? Funny how a child could get in a language you can understand. Second thing that you might consider, why the shepherds? Well, what did they do immediately following that? Scripture says in verse 18, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd." So what did they immediately do when they left that scene? Go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain. They were telling everybody. So who picked a group of people, these guys who would have no scruples about telling a story. There was no embarrassment. There was no reluctance. It was all about telling the story with vigor. And knowing that, hey, God chose me to announce this story. Third thing, he knew it would bring joy, I believe, to the shepherds themselves. Let me ask you this question. Is God interested in bringing joy to even the least, the last, the lost that I spoke of earlier? Is he? Does he notice that? Joy in someone's life. If we really believe that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is for everybody, then of course, he knew these shepherds, they would have great joy. There's two other people we hadn't spoken much about. Mary and Joseph. Now you think about what's happened in their lives over the last few months. Think about this. Yes, they were engaged to be married, betrothed to one another. And then Mary comes up pregnant. She goes to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. And I love the way that they did it in that movie, the Nativity Story, because it really showed it, I believe, how it happened. I think it happened just that way. She finds out she's pregnant, but then she goes to visit her cousin. By the time she gets back, she's showing. And those who already didn't know in her little village, that tight little village, we tend to think of a town this day. We're talking about a very small town, a very small group of people. They knew every time you breathed, every time you stepped outside, they knew about you. Now think about what's happened in their life. They've gone through the humiliation of that. And then angel comes to Joseph and tells Joseph, don't put her away. Because what she's carrying in her is of me. Angel comes to Mary and says, you're going to be the mother of Messiah. Imagine that. Imagine all the little Jewish girls that dreamed about that. They've taken this trip there to be taxed, coming back to Bethlehem. They've taken this long trip together. And there they are. They can't find a place. They can't find a place. So Jesus ends up being born in a barn. All this has happened to them. And now, who does God bring to verify the story? Now, he could have brought religious leaders. He could have brought these others. But they would have been suspect of what they had said. Oh, there must be an angle here. But when the shepherds show up, and the shepherds, you know, start telling the story, well, you know, we're out in the field and these angels appear to me. How do you think that strikes it with Mary and Joseph in the story? Do you see how much the angels have participated in this? And that just verifies their experience. God is validating Mary and Joseph through the shepherds. Isn't it interesting that God will come and speak through the lowliest form to get our attention? And here He's speaking through these men who could probably neither read nor write, but yet they knew what they had experienced, what they had heard, and now they're validating Mary and Joseph and saying, this is real. This is real. An outside source. And finally, don't you think that God has a sense of humor? I think he got great joy out of it that day, bringing the shepherds and just watching this whole thing act out before him. Can't you see it? Well, let me ask you this. Do any of you like to watch your children open up a present? Anybody like that? Do you like to surprise someone special in your family? Imagine God here, the Father, got the best seat in the house. And he's watching the whole thing. The simplicity of it. While the world is churning with all its machinations, you know, all the things of state and these so-called big decisions all these guys were having to make. And the Christ, the Messiah, is born. Which tells me he cares. He cares about you. And he cares about me. That's the beauty of the story. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what position in life you are. Doesn't matter what's going on, what situation, what awful circumstance you may have to experience. Whatever you're going through, I want you to know God is mindful. He's got the best seat in the house. He's watching you. He knows you. He knows your heart. And the greatest thing we can do is to praise his name. He validated that in the story, didn't he? The one angel comes and then is joined by the host of heaven. Had this lady in church, a pastor years ago. She'd come up to me every Christmas. She'd say, "Preacher, I want you to know, nowhere in the Bible does it say those angels were singing. Doesn't say they were singing." I said, "Yes, ma'am, you're right. But if it's okay with you, I'm going to choose to think that they were singing till I get to heaven and you can prove me wrong. And I'll gladly say then I was wrong, but the picture I've got is this heavenly host lighting up the sky. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." He brings that peace, that serenity, if we come in faith. I want to ask you today, is not this season one that calls us to faith? Calls us and says, believe, trust in the one, the lover of your soul. He's here right now. As we talked about last week, his angels are here. He's looking in right now. And he's telling you, "I love you. I care about you." And he's speaking his name. What was one of his names? We call him Emmanuel. What does it mean? God with us. He's with you. No matter what you're going through. I'm going to open the altar today. You'd like to come and pray or be prayed for today, we open the altar. Come and experience the presence. The very Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, He is here. He is not silent. He is speaking to you. He is speaking to you through these children, through these songs, through the testimony we've heard. He's speaking through all of it. And he's shouting out today. He's calling your name and calling you to himself. Won't you come? If you've never received Jesus in your life, oh, you might have been around, been exposed to religion, exposed to this or that church. I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about a particular church doctrine today. I'm talking about Jesus today, the personal Jesus. He is here, and he is inviting you to himself. Would you receive him today? Would you accept him in your life? You tried the other stuff. It doesn't work, does it? It leaves you hollow. Receive him. I invite you to come. I'll be here. I'd be more than happy to pray with you. You can ask Jesus into your life today, right now. Maybe today you're here. You have Jesus. But you have a weight on your shoulder that is crushing you. I want you to hear the words of Jesus. Come, all of you. All of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why not today? Let's offload all that junk and ask him. Come, Jesus, be Lord of my life again. The altar's open. It's a time of renewal. The time he's calling you to himself. Let's pray. And now, Lord, we come thanking you for your presence and for your power. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. You're welcome to move and work and act. We're asking you today, reveal yourself. Unveil yourself. Come thou, long expected Jesus. Come right now. When I was a little kid, I learned this song. What's up? And it went like this. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Is that your prayer today? We ask our pastors, our life group leaders to take their places now. The altar's open. You come if God's put it on your heart today. We ask you to come. Come and work in our lives. Lord, in the midst of much need, Lord, you come with your power and your strength. Come with your provision. We're asking you to do that right now. Come, Lord. Come, Jesus. We thank you. In your name we pray. Would you like to get your cards from you? If you have an offering to bring, baskets here at the front and one in the back. We'll receive those now. If you want to come. Now look this way, if you will. Anybody have an answer to prayer? Today, God spoke to you today, answered a prayer today. Anybody? They say, yeah, we got a few. Okay. All right. And how many are you expecting God to answer a prayer today? If you prayed it, man, you better be praying expecting. Expecting God to do his God thing and all that. I want to thank you again, all of you that helped us in the live nativity here and out there. Well, what a blessing it was. God bless you. And we pray over all those people that we came. Amazing that you'd have a child come that had never heard the story. How many adults? hearts have not even ever really heard the story. Let's be doing that this week. And remember those things. I'll be sending you the email this week to remind you about stuff we'll bring next Sunday. We'll celebrate here together next Sunday and then again on Christmas Eve together. And by the way, somebody asked me, said, well, what about that? We usually have a brunch on that Sunday after Christmas. We're planning on that, the Sunday after Christmas, having a brunch here. So, yeah, yum, yum. That's right, Daniel. And the Lord bless you. Who needs a hug here that hadn't had a good one yet? Okay, y'all need to mob Donnie. He was the first one. If you can get past Deb, I send you out under the authority of God the Father in the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Sick 'em.